Autobiography of George Mueller, or A Million and a Half Answers to Prayer. Chapter 6, Part 7. Picking up on page 152, under the Severe Trials and Early Orphan Work, this section is titled, How to Be Constantly Happy in the Lord. This is written in the year 1841. How to be constantly happy in the Lord. While I was staying at Nailsworth, it pleased the Lord to teach me a truth, irrespective of human instrumentality as far as I know, the benefit of which I have not lost, though now, while preparing the 8th edition for the press, more than 40 years have since passed away. The point is this. I saw more clearly than ever that the first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day was to have my soul happy in the Lord. The first thing to be concerned about was not how much I might serve the Lord, how I might glorify the Lord, but how I might get my soul into a happy state, and how my inner man might be nourished. For I might seek to set the truth before the unconverted. I might seek to benefit believers. I might seek to relieve the distressed. I might in other ways seek to behave myself as it becomes a child of God in this world, and yet not being happy in the Lord, and not being nourished and strengthened in my inner man day by day, all this might not be attended to in a right spirit. Before this time, my practice had been, at least for 10 years previously, as an habitual thing, to give myself to prayer after having dressed in the morning. Now I saw that the most important thing I had to do was to give myself to the reading of the Word of God and to meditate on it, that thus my heart might be comforted, encouraged, warned, reproved, instructed, and that thus, whilst meditating, my heart might be brought into experimental communion with the Lord. I began, therefore, to meditate on the New Testament from the beginning, early in the morning. The first thing I did, after having asked in a few words the Lord's blessing upon His precious Word, was to begin to meditate on the Word of God, searching, as it were, in every verse, to get blessing out of it, not for the sake of the public ministry of the Word, not for the sake of preaching on what I had meditated upon, but for the sake of obtaining food for my own soul. The result I have found to be almost invariably this, that after a very few minutes my soul had been led to confession, or to thanksgiving, or to intercession, or to supplication. So that though I did not, as it were, give myself to prayer, but to meditation, yet it turned almost immediately more or less into prayer. When thus I had been for a while making confession, or intercession, or supplication, or have given thanks, I go on to the next words or verse, turning all, as I go on, into prayer for myself or others, as the word may lead to it, but still continually keeping before me the food for my own soul is the object of my meditation. The result of this is that there is always a good deal of confession, thanksgiving, supplication, or intercession mingled with my meditation, and that my inner man almost invariably is even sensibly nourished and strengthened, and that by breakfast time, with rare exceptions, I am in a peaceful, if not happy, state of heart. Thus also the Lord is pleased to communicate unto me that which very soon after I have found to become food for other believers, though it was not for the sake of the public ministry of the Word that I gave myself to meditation, but for the profit of my own inner man. The difference, then, between my former practice and my present one is this. Formerly, when I rose, I began to pray as soon as possible, and generally spent all my time till breakfast in prayer, or almost all the time. At all events, I almost invariably began with prayer, except when I felt my soul to be more than usually barren, in which case I read the Word of God for food, or for refreshment, or for a revival and renewal of my inner man, before I gave myself to prayer. But what was the result? I often spent a quarter of an hour, or half an hour, or even an hour on my knees, before being conscious to myself of having derived comfort, encouragement, humbling of soul, etc. And often, after having suffered much from wandering of mind for the first 10 minutes, or a quarter of an hour, or even half an hour, I only then began really to pray. I scarcely ever suffered now in this way. For my heart being nourished by the truth, being brought into the experimental fellowship with God, I speak to my Father and to my friend, vile though I am and unworthy of it, about the things that he has brought before me in his precious word. It often now astonishes me that I did not sooner see this. In no book did I ever read about it. No public ministry ever brought the matter before me. No private intercourse with the brother stirred me up to this matter. And yet now, since God has taught me this point, it is as plain to me as anything that the first thing the child of God has to do, morning by morning, is to obtain food for his inner man. As the outward man is not fit for work for any length of time, except we take food, and as this is one of the first things we do in the morning, so it should be with the inner man. We should take food for that, as everyone must allow. Now, what is the food for the inner man? Not prayer, but the Word of God. And here again, not the simple reading of the Word of God, so that it only passes through our minds, just as water runs through a pipe, but considering what we read, pondering over it, and applying it to our hearts. When we pray, we speak to God. Now prayer, in order to be continued for any length of time in any other than a formal manner, requires, generally speaking, a measure of strength or godly desire, and the season, therefore, when this exercise of the soul can be most effectually performed is after the inner man has been nourished by the meditation on the Word of God, where we find our Father speaking to us to encourage us, to comfort us, to instruct us, to humble us, to reprove us. We may therefore profitably meditate with God's blessing, though we are ever so weak spiritually. Nay, the weaker we are, the more we need meditation for the strengthening of our inner man. There is thus far less to be feared from wandering of mind than if we give ourselves to prayer, without having had previous time for meditation. I dwell so particularly on this point because of the immense spiritual profit and refreshment I am conscious of having derived from it myself, and I affectionately and solemnly beseech all my fellow believers to ponder this matter. By the blessing of God, I ascribe to this mode the help and strength which I have had from God to pass in peace through deeper trials in various ways than I had ever had before. And after having now about 40 years tried this way, I can most fully in the fear of God commend it. How different when the soul is refreshed and made happy early in the morning from what it is when, without spiritual preparation, the service, the trials, and the temptations of the day come upon one. May 29th. Today I received from the East Indies £100. Notice here that without any solicitation, simply in the answer to prayer, the Lord is pleased to send us from time to time even large sums, and that from such a distance as the East Indies. June 4th, 2 or 3 weeks since, a brother at a distance requested me to let him know the names of my bankers and the names of their agents in London, in order that he might, by means of his bankers, send me some money. One day, after another passed away, and I heard no more about it. Today I received the following letter. My dear brother, I have delayed writing to you under the expectation of seeing you at Bristol, but I am not yet suffered to leave. I have by this post written to of London, desiring them to pay over to the credit of George Miller the sum of £50. This applied to your brothers, the Lord gives you wisdom. I am not concerned at my having been prevented for so many days from sending this money. I am confident it has not been needed. The last sentence is remarkable. It is now nearly 3 years since our funds were for the first time exhausted, and only at this period since then could it have been said, in truth, as far as I remember, that a donation of £50 was not needed. On the same day came in still further from Hackney £10, besides several small donations. Gives up chapel boxes for his own support. July 7th. For some time past, Brother Craig and I have questioned whether, under our present circumstances, the mode of receiving the free will offerings of the saints, among whom we labor, by means of boxes other over which our names were fixed together with the explanation of the object of the boxes was any longer the more excellent way. We have at last been quite decided about it and put today the following short statement into the press. To the saints in Christ Jesus assembling at the Bethesda Chapel, Bristol. Dear brethren, it has seemed well to us to remove from the chapel the boxes appropriated for the reception of the freewill offerings towards our temporal support. In order to prevent misapprehension or misrepresentation, we desire affectionately to lay before you the following statement of our reasons for taking this step. Upon our first coming to Bristol, we declined accepting anything in the shape of regular salary or by means of seat rents from the brethren among whom we were laboring. We did not act thus because we thought it wrong that those who were ministered unto spiritual things should minister unto us in temporal things. Part number one. Because we would not have the liberality of the brethren to be a matter of constraint, but willingly. Number two. Because on the grounds of James 2:1-6, we objected to seat rents. Boxes were put up for the sake of those into whose hearts God might put it to desire to act according to that word. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Galatians 6:6. When the boxes were first put up, we were the only brethren that seemed called to labor in the word and doctrine. Since then, however, circumstances have considerably altered, and partly from the change in circumstances and partly from increased light and reference to the position of those who ministered the word, we have for some time past felt that it might be well, for certain reasons, that the present mode of receiving the offerings of the saints should be discontinued. At the same time, we are very desirous of having it clearly understood that, in the great principles which led to the adoption of the boxes in the first instance, we are unchanged, or rather we are more strengthened by the experience of more than 10 years in the propriety of rejecting seat rents and fixed salaries. Number one, as long as the boxes are there, it ought to be understood for what purpose the money which is put into them is applied. This necessity requires that our names should be given as those who labor in the word and doctrine. This again has the appearance of elevating ourselves above all the other brethren, and of assuming office to ourselves instead of just seeking to fill the place which the Holy Ghost may have given us in the body. Number two, it may please the Lord increasingly to call and qualify other brethren for the work of ruling and teaching in the church. But still, as long as we are looked upon as we have been hitherto, in consequence of our names being affixed to the boxes, unnecessary difficulties may probably be put in the way of any others being fully recognized by the saints generally as occupying equally with ourselves the place in which the Lord may set them. Number three, the question may be asked even now, are these the only laborers? And the reply would be that there are others who also labor, but who are not supported in the same way. This fact is fitted to give the impression to those who do not know us that we are seeking to keep our place in the church by some outward title, rather than just filling it up in obedience to the Lord and quietly leaving it with the Holy Spirit to produce subjection unto us on the part of the saints. Number four. Lastly, from the manner in which our names appear in public, we have reason to believe that some of the saints look upon us as exclusively the ministers, and thus that some may have felt themselves neglected because not visited personally by us. The notion that two individuals should be able to exercise pastoral inspection over about 550 believers we consider to be very unsound. But for ourselves, we feel that it is a responsibility which we dare not take. According to our gift and strength, we desire to rule, teach, and feed the sheep of Christ, but we dare not undertake the personal inspection of all who are already gathered, or may be gathered, simply as believers in the Lord Jesus in this city. Thus, we have endeavored very briefly to state our reasons for declining any longer to receive your offerings through boxes, publicly put up and having our names appended to them. We desire grace to serve you more faithfully than ever, and cast ourselves, as we have done hitherto, upon him who hath said, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Henry Craig, George Mueller, Bristol, July 7, 1841. When this alteration was made, I had another proof of the many blessings which are connected with the life of faith. Under other circumstances, the question would naturally have arisen in my mind, And what will you do for support if the boxes are removed? How will the offerings come in? Will any come in? But none of these things troubled me even for a moment. I said to myself, somehow or other the Lord will provide for me. If not through the instrumentality of the saints in Bristol, he will send help by means of those who live elsewhere. All I have to do in this matter is to serve the Lord and to trust in him, and he will surely take care of my temporal necessities. And thus it has been since July 1841, also even as before. The reader may desire to know how the Lord has since that time provided for my temporal necessities, seeing that the boxes which were put up in the two chapels for the reception of the freewill offerings were removed. I therefore state it. Number one, I have received, as at former times, some presents and provisions, clothes, etc., from the saints among whom I labor and from other saints. Number two, some of the brothers and sisters among whom I labor have either habitually or from time to time put up some money in paper and directed it to Brother Craig or to me, or to both of us, and have put these little money parcels into one of the boxes for the reception of the offerings for the poor saints, or into the boxes into which the freewill contributions for the rent and expenses of the chapels are put. These little packages have been handed over to us by the deacons, and as they were directed so, they have been appropriated. Number three, in a few cases, brethren and sisters in communion with us have also given me presents and money. Number four, the Lord has also continued to incline the hearts of some of his children, not living in Bristol, to send me presents and money, and again, even those whom I have never seen, and whose names sometimes I do not even know. The only thing that was a real difficulty in my mind in making this alteration was, not that I should be a loser, and much less that the Lord would not care for my temporal necessities, but at least some of the children of God should find, in the removal of the boxes for the reception of the offerings for Brother Craig and me, an excuse for doing nothing at all for our temporal necessities, and least especially the poor, because they might have only pence or halfpence to give, should be deterred from doing so, and thereby both classes should rob themselves of blessings. It was not because I feared to lose the gifts of some, for I can, by the grace of God, say in some measure at least that with the Apostle Paul, not because I desire gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your accord, Philippians 4:17. My aim also is, by the help of God, to be brought into that state of health in which the Apostle Paul, when he said, I am very gladly spent and to be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved, 2 Corinthians 12:15. But yet, with this desire on my part, I knew that the dear children of God, among whom I labor, would rob themselves and not me of a blessing if they did not contribute towards my temporal necessities, and I feared lest this alteration should be used by Satan as an instrument to their injury. But the mind of God seemed to us, after all, on account of the reasons before stated, that the alteration ought to be made notwithstanding any possible evils which might result from it. We are thus in such a position that there is free room for the Holy Ghost to commend all the various laborers among us according to the measure of grace and gift given to them to the conscience of the brethren, not only with reference to their spiritual position in the body, but also with reference to their temporal need. August 7th. Today we had 1 sixpence left for our own personal necessities. We needed some money to buy eggs and cocoa for a brother who is come to stay with us. When this brother gave me 4 shillings, which he had brought for me from the place when she comes. Thus we are helped for the present. August 26. After a season of comparative poverty with reference to myself, though always having what was really needful in the way of nourishing food, etc., a brother sent me today 17 pounds, 18 shillings, from a considerable distance, of which half is for the orphans and half for my own personal temporal necessities. September 2nd. During the last 4 months, we have had more in hand for the orphans than we needed. Since July 1838, when for the first time the funds were exhausted, we have had at no period so much money in hand. There was, as it were, during these 4 months, one continual even running of the river of God's bounty, both by presents and money and articles, as we had now for several months abounded in a greater degree than at any previous time in the same length during the past 3 years and 3 months, so it pleased the Lord after this period to try our faith more severely than during any time since the work first commenced. Indeed, so sharp were the trials of our faith for more than 6 months after this, so long the seasons when, day after day, only daily supplies were granted to us, and when, even from meal to meal, we had to look to the Lord, so long had we to continue in prayer, and yet help seemed to fail, that it can only be ascribed to the especial mercy of God that the faith of those who were engaged in this work did not altogether fail, and that they did not entirely grow weary of this way of carrying on the Lord's work, and go, in despair of help from God, back again to the habits and maxims of this evil world. How my fellow laborers have felt during all this time, I am, of course, unable to state. But, if I may speak of myself, I joyfully state to the praise of the Lord that during all the following months my faith has sustained without wavering, but still so greatly was it tried that often I had no other petition but that the Lord would be pleased to continue it, and that he would pity me as a father pitieth his children. In the midst of the trial, I was fully assured that the Lord would lighten his hand in his own good time, and that, while as it lasted, it was only in order that, in a small measure for the benefit of the Church of God generally, that the word might be fulfilled in us. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation. I now give an account of the commencement and progress of our trial of faith during the months which succeeded the time of abundance. October 1st, when I had not one penny in hand for the necessities of the day, there was brought to me this morning 10 shillings for the orphans which had been sent from Kensington. In the paper which contained the money was written, "Your Heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Trust in the Lord." This word of our Lord is to me of more value than any bank notes. About 5 minutes later I received from an Irish sister 10 pounds. October 6th, as only 4 pounds more had been received for the orphans since October 1st, the last money had now again been given out to supply this daily necessity, when 2 pounds 15 shillings came in, being the produce of some of the articles which had been sent from Tetbury, T-E-T-B-U-R-Y. This evening I also received from a brother a sovereign, which his believing wife on her dying bed had requested him to give after her decease. There came in likewise this evening by a donation 10 shillings, and by the article sales 2 pounds 10 shillings 5 dimes. October 21st, as only between 9 pounds and 10 pounds had come in since the 16th for the orphans, we were this day again, as is often the case, without anything in hand, when 12 shillings 2 dimes was sent from Exmouth. October 29th, today we were again very poor. Not only had I nothing in it at all in hand, but the provision stores were much reduced. About 12 o'clock, a sister gave me 3 shillings 2 dimes, also from a distance, was sent 9 dimes. In the afternoon, we were able to dispose of, for 3 pounds, some articles which had been sent a long time ago. 3 shillings came in for needlework, and 2 shillings 6 dimes as a donation. Thus, we had £3.09 5 dimes. The day before yesterday, I had asked the Lord that he would be pleased to send us some potatoes, as we had no means to lay in a stock. This morning I was informed that the same brother who had sent 20 sacks last year had again ordered 20 sacks to be sent, and 6 sacks have also been given by another individual. November 2nd, at a time of the great poverty, 1 pound was sent by a lady from Birmingham. About half an hour afterwards, I received 10 pounds from a brother who had saved up 150 pounds and put it into a savings bank, but who now sees that to devote this money to the promotion of the work of God tends more to the glory of the name of Jesus than to retain it in a savings bank upon interest for a time of sickness or old age. For he is assured that should such times come, the same Lord, who has hitherto cared for him, whilst in health and strength, able to work and also will also care for him then. The same brother gave me 3 pounds a fortnight since. This 10 pounds came in very seasonably, for though we had been able to provide for the absolute necessities of today, yet there was want in many respects, especially as a boy is just going out as an apprentice who needs tools and an outfit.